Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Had the opportunity to get out of town this past weekend. It is our practice within our family that when we're gone somewhere, we still go to church. And so we went to Golden Baptist Church in Golden, Missouri on Sunday. Got to worship with our friends there, and they did a great job. And we got to hear about fasting from the pastor there, and he just did an awesome job. We're glad to be back, rested, caffeinated, and I'm ready to go. If you want to open your Bibles and join me, we're going to be in Psalms 119 this morning. Psalms 119 in verse 121, if you want to be finding there. Psalms 119, verse 121. I want to start by just asking you a question. Do you think our culture is good? That's the real question of how we finish Psalms 119. I'm not just making up a question. Ultimately, this is where I want us to spend our time today, is answering the question, what happens when our culture is broken? I believe that in our day and time, we're having to answer this question, will we allow culture or Christ to raise up our next generation? Are we allowing culture to drive our hearts and our minds and our directions? We cannot serve the next generation rotten food and hope that they grow up healthy. They must be sustained by good things. And if you, for one instance, believe what happened at the Olympics was a one-off, you're mistaken. I've heard over the last few days how what was shown to the world was not a mockery of Christ. It was Greek in origin. Let me just tell you this. Whether it was a mockery of Jesus or the showing of a foreign god, it mocked Jesus Christ. Do not be misled. A lost world thinks that we will watch and say nothing. But the church is not toothless. The church will not be silent. And so when a lost world speaks louder than the church, we have a problem. We were not meant to be pacifists. We were meant to stand firm in Christ. We were meant to be alien in nature, foreigners in our land. You are not to look like the world. And when the world pushes the church should stand up. That's how we respond. We don't stand up by throwing fists, but we stand on the truth of the Word of God, and anything that doesn't look like Him, we should sound an alarm to the world and say, that is not our Jesus, that is not truth, and this is the truth of the gospel. We must stand. When the world wants Christians to fall down and be silent, the church should rise up and be resilient. We are the hands and feet of Christ in a lost and broken culture, and we must look like Jesus now more than ever. So our psalmist in Psalms 119 verses 121 says, I have done what is just and right. Do not lead me to my oppressors. Guarantee your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes grow weary looking for your salvation and for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant based on your faithful love. Teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your decrees. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have violated your instructions. Since I love your commands more than gold, even the purest gold, I carefully follow your precepts and hate every false way. Amen. How do we know that we love Christ? We hate every other false way. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no other way should we be lovers of. No other way should we be tolerant of allowing our neighbors to walk down. We must stand firm on God's word, hating every false way, because it's leading this culture, our neighbors, our children, away from God. We must stand, because the world is telling Christianity, be silent. Let me just tell you this, church. The church can never be silent. Because when we stop, rocks will do the part. And so we live in a part of our country that's built on a rock. Uniquely, Amarillo is rocky soil. Listen, I want to tell you, church, when we in the church stop talking, the cap rock will do its own part. But let it never say a word, because the church will never stop talking about Jesus. Just because we are in Christ does not mean that we won't experience oppression. In Christ, I promise you this, you will experience hate. In Christ, you will experience turbulence. In Christ, you will experience the hatred of the world. You know why? It first hated him. And if it hated Jesus, it's going to hate his church. If it mocked Jesus then, it's going to mock the church now. Make no mistake, there's a reason why we don't see on the world stage much mockery of Allah. There's a reason why we don't see much mockery of any other foreign or false god. You know why? Because there is a one true God, and he is constantly mocked because they hate him. But that doesn't mean we should be silent. Instead, it should awaken us, and we should pray and ask the Lord, would you act now, Lord? Would you speak now, Lord? Would you ignite your church now, God? Would you send us? Would you equip us? Would you lead us? Oh, Lord, make us a vessel for you. Amen. Psalm 120, or verse 129 says, your decrees are wondrous. Therefore, I obey them. The revelation of your word brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. I love that verse, by the way. I want to read it one more time and slow down. Verse 130. The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the what? Inexperienced. No one in this room has an excuse. Whether you feel that you are a veteran or inexperienced, I promise you this, God's word changes everything. Verse 131, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commands. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your practice towards those who love your name. Make my steps steady through your promise. Do not let any sin dominate me. Redeem me from human oppression, and I will keep your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes pour out streams of tears because people do not follow your instruction. We should seek the blessing of the Lord. We should seek it because the only way that you get the blessing of the Lord is in proximity to the Lord. When we act as though we just sang a song earlier that said, I surrender everything, that God is pursuing us deeply. I love that song. Our response is submission to a holy God because he is that good, and inside of that submission comes blessing. Verse 135 says, make your face shine on your servant and teach me your statutes. It reminds me of another verse in Numbers. God speaking to Moses, and he says this, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. God gives this truth to Aaron to speak over the people when they were enemies sometimes. When they questioned God sometimes. And all of these steps, we understand that this isn't just this moment that they did everything right, but they were pursuing God and hoping to follow after God and giving away to God what they had. And God said, so when that happens, tell Aaron to say this, blessings on you because of me. When we want to be blessed in our lives, we must pursue the heart, face, and direction of God. Amen. And in a broken culture, I believe that God is crying out to his church, come near me now. Come near me now. This past week, we went with some friends to Missouri and got on Table Rock Lake. It's one of my favorite places on the planet. I've been in oceans. I've been around the world, but I got to tell you, one of my favorite places is still on that green water lake. I love just lowering the anchor, floating there in the water, but something happens. Inevitably, a big boat goes by, and you know what it creates? Creates waves. And if you're not careful and you're not paying attention, eventually those waves will push you far away from the boat. Eventually it'll push you so far away that it takes effort to come back. And so you have to fight through those waves. But I want to tell you something. Mama didn't raise no fool. I use a floaty. I do not want to work out while on vacation. I want to float. I want to enjoy. The radio's on the boat. We're sitting there floating, singing oldies and goodies and countries and whatever comes out. And we talk and we laugh. And when the waves come, your feet and your hands start swimming to the boat. So you stay close. In the Christian life, culture wants to push you away from Christ. But how do you hold on when the waves come? His word. Prayer. Fellowship. These are the standard practices of the Christian life. But I got to tell you, church, they're the easiest things to give up. Because when the waves come, too often we look to our own devices to handle them. It could be addictions. It could be relationships. It can be all these things, and they seem good for a moment, only to realize they take your focus off the boat. How do we hold on? Verse 145, or 137, pardon me. You're righteous, Lord, and your judgments are just. The decrees you issue are righteous and altogether trustworthy. My anger overwhelms me because my foes forget your words. Your word is completely pure, and your servant loves it. I am insignificant and despised, but I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your instruction is true. Trouble and distress have overtaken me, but your commands are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding, and I will live. Amen. We should live in the awe of God in our lives. Amen. He is that boat that gives us refuge when the waves come. Verse 145 says, I will call with all my heart, answer me, Lord, and I will obey your statutes. I call to you, save me, and I will keep your decrees. I rise before dawn and cry out for help. I put my hope in your word. I awake through each watch of the night to meditate on your promise. In keeping with your faithful love, hear my voice, Lord. Give me life in keeping with your justice. Those who pursue evil plans come near. They are far from your instruction. You are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your decrees that you established them forever. It's time that reawaken our prayer life, because prayer still works. Amen. Always has, always will. The fact that we can pray and we have a God that hears us is unbelievable. Amen. Standing in the ruins of Greek gods in Greece, you realize that people came and offered offerings and prayers to statues that never did anything for them. They prayed for things that were big, and they offered them to gods that never responded. When Dad and I were in India, they had massive gods built in the city. You could see them from miles away. And they would offer just riches to these gods, and they never respond. But we have a God who doesn't need anything from you. He needs nothing. And yet he takes us in like sons and daughters. And he loves us desperately. Amen. And when we pray, he hears us. And he responds, because prayer still works. Amen. The next verse, 53, says, consider my affliction and rescue me. For I have not forgotten your instruction. Champion my cause and redeem me. Give me life as you promised. Salvation is far from the wicked because they do not study your statutes. Your compassions are many, Lord. give me life according to your judgments. I want to pause for a second and rewind that for just a second. Go back to verse 155 with me. Salvation is far from the wicked because they do not study your statutes. That would be a terrible verse if that was it. But immediately the writer of Psalms says, your compassions are many, Lord. So while the wicked are far off from salvation, God's compassion is more. He offers them a way. Give me life according to your judgments. My persecutors and foes are many, and I have not turned from your decrees. I have seen the disloyal and feel disgust because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts, Lord. Give me life according to your faithful love. The entirety of your word is truth. Each of your righteous judgments endures forever. God's righteous judgments endure forever. He doesn't change, which is good for those that are holding on to truth, but bad for those that reject it. We live in a generation now that makes up its own truth. It's subjective. They choose to say, well, you can believe that, but I believe this, so which one of us is right? It's the age-old question of, if there's religions all over the world, what if somebody believes a different religion than Jesus? What happens? Well, we have to go back to Jesus. Either he lied when he said he was the way, or he is the truth, like he says in the next little moment. Which means this: we have a real enemy. Satan desires to steal, kill, and destroy. It's his MO. And because of that, he wants to steal from our culture. He wants to kill any opportunity for salvation. And he wants to destroy the human race. He does not like humans. We're the image bearers of God. We have a way through Christ for salvation. He despises all of that. He wants you to simply die. But he also knows something. We're all going to face death. But then there's an eternity to be had. And if the enemy can convince you there is no eternity, then you have nothing to fear. But the truth is, there is an eternity. The Bible teaches us that there's two ways in eternity that we can spend the rest of our everlasting life. One is in a place of separation from God. You know, the Bible describes that place called hell as torment and separation and deepness and depression, weeping and gnashing of teeth. It gives some very descriptive thoughts on hell. The worst of those is eternal separation from God, because we've never experienced that. We've never experienced what it feels like to be separated from God. Even those who are not following the way have never experienced life without God. He gives life and breath. So they've never experienced an eternity or a time or a minute or a second without God. But they will. The second eternity is this: those who place their faith in Christ, who confess him as Lord, will spend an eternity in connection with God in a place called heaven. Amen. It's built for connectivity. Everything that this world thinks is valuable is insignificant in heaven. Streets of gold. You literally walk on the most valuable thing that we got. You start to think for just a second, everything that we thought was worth our every living moment is insignificant there, except for one. There's three things the scriptures tell us that are valuable: faith, hope, and love. Eventually, we will need no more faith. We'll be face to face with Christ. There will be a day that we no longer need hope, because we won't have to hope anymore. We'll be absolutely certain. but love will never fade. When we look at the writer of Psalm 119, we understand that God is an eternity kind of God. While we may face certainly trials this side of heaven, that side of heaven, we will face nothing but the presence of God. It'll make you a singer. And I don't know if in our earthly tense that you would necessarily say you've got a great singing voice. I will tell you this, practice up, kid. Because for eternity, we're going to be so joyful, we can't help it. There's some of you I love sitting by the way. Your voices are absolutely stunners. And I appreciate some of you that sit way in the back of the room. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking with you. But you know who you are. You and I are going to be standing next to each other in heaven. Preachers shouldn't sing, right? Because all of a sudden you go, oh, so that's why you preach. Yep. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart fears only your word. I rejoice over your promise like one who finds vast treasure. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your instruction. I praise you seven times a day for your righteous judgments. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation and carry out your commands. I obey your decrees and love them greatly. I obey your precepts and decrees, for all my ways are before you. We should pursue God's promises like treasure. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes out and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went out and sold everything he had and bought it. It's time that you and I become something that we always said we'd never be. It's time that we become sellouts. Amen. It's time that we sold off the world in pursuit of Christ. Amen. It's time that we look different. It's time that we act different. It's time that we retake what the enemy has tried to steal. He wants the next generation. And those who want it more will get it. But I want to say this. This church, and churches like ours, will fight for the next generation. We will contend with the enemy and declare that he is not theirs and that he's never owned them and he won't have them either, because they are not ours. They're God's. And we will fight and we will pray and we will seek his word and we will teach it and we'll pass it on, because the next generation needs Jesus as much as we do. So in our church, we're going to do something. We're going to sell out. We're going to do everything we possibly can in the next few years to reach the next generation. Amen. We are going to pursue them deeply because they need Jesus like we need Jesus. We will ask God to open the fields up that we would reach in and we would pursue them, because we believe that Jesus changes everything. And we are going to pursue his way so that when the next generation looks in the pews of the church at Quell Creek, they will see grown adults acting like Jesus. Let me just warn you, church. If we're going to go reach the next generation, we cannot act like the world does. If we're going to reach the next generation, we can't act like the old church used to. Demanding our way, demanding our pew, demanding our thoughts. We must pursue Jesus with all we've got so that they run after us in that same pursuit. So the psalmist finishes like this. Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry reach you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea reach you. Rescue me according to your promise. My lips pour out praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue sings about your promise, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your instruction is my delight. Let me live and I will praise you. May your judgments help me. I wander like a lost sheep, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commands. Amen. Let us ask God. Let us ask him to give us a hunger for his word. Amen. Let us pursue him so deeply that the next generation longs for the Jesus we have. The problem is this. A lost world today sees no discernible difference between the church and them. A lost world is seeking something of hope, of love. They sing about it in songs written by the pens of men and women far from God. Oh, that they would find what they are searching for through Jesus' church. Oh, that they would see the lighthouse standing in our city, showing Jesus as Lord of all. My prayer and your prayer should be the same prayer. Lord, break us. Ruin us. Smash us. That the next generation would walk on better ground than we are laying down. Lord, would you change us so that the next generation would pursue you more than we are. Lord, speak into us. That when the next generation looks for Jesus, they will hear his song coming from our mouths. When we were in Missouri, something happened. We got down to the shoreline. We had swam. It was perfect. It's a great day. The next day, we went back to the shoreline to go swimming again, only to discover something. Snakes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that all was right. Like, y'all may love snakes. Bless. I don't like snakes. I wanted to experience the greatness of relaxation, again on my floaty. I didn't want Amarillo weather for a little bit. I wanted to float in Table Rock Lake. And then the little came through. Did y'all know that snakes can swim underwater? What? I told our group, next thing we're going to learn is that those snakes can also just mount some wings and fly around, and then I will be thoroughly done with snakes. I'll tell you this, though. The snakes kept swimming around the edges. They kept swimming to see if they could gain the high ground and get on solid soil. But when the dad stood up and we stood over that snake, it ran away from us. It wasn't trying to start a fight. It just wanted to scare the ever-living water out of us. That snake is still slithering in our lives. It's slithering in our culture. You and I have no power to rid ourselves from it. We need the Father to stand up. We should pray and ask God, give us a hunger for your word. Give us a delight in prayer. Give us the heart to reach a lost nation. Give us the voice to speak. And Lord, give us the spirit for times we don't. But Lord, have your church stand. But Lord, don't let us stand without you. We need the Father. My Bible just fell, don't worry. We need the Father to stand. Every time the Father stands, the serpent flees. So I can think of no better place for you and I to find ourselves but near the Father. Amen. So today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may feel like the serpent has reached the edges in your life. And that's where he wants to live. He's a coward. He's a liar. And he can do no damage to those who are near the Father. Because when you pursue nearness to the Father, the enemy flees from him. So your day is today that you draw near God. Scripture tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen. And all of creation is crying out that there is a creator, a savior, and he loves you. He died for you on a cross at Calvary so you'd never be alone and you would always have access to the Father. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for today? Give your life to Christ in obedience of faith. Make him known boldly. This is the kind of church that you need to be a part of. We celebrate people making Christ known. And so today, if if that's you, if you've said, you know what, Kyle, I need Jesus in my life and I've never declared him Lord of my life. Why don't you tell somebody today? Watch what happens at this church when you give your life to Christ. We celebrate because that's what heaven's doing too. And we agree with heaven. So that's what you could do right here and right now through belief in Jesus Christ. Believe that he saves you from your sin. And sin is anything that is contrary to God's plan for your life. He meant for us to live in community with him at all times, but sin has separated us from God. But Jesus bridges that gap. And because of what he did on the cross, he can save you from your sin and lead your life. Why wouldn't you declare him today? Amen. Today is your day. I want to pray for you. As I pray, our team's going to come back up. You're going to hear him moving around. It's okay. That's who's moving. And after I pray, we're going to stand. They're going to lead us in a song, and I and some friends are going to be down here. We would love to talk to you about that kind of declaration of Jesus being the Lord of your life. Do it today. Do it today and see what this church does as we celebrate with you, you making Jesus the Lord of your life. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room. God, I pray that they would be bold today, that they would declare that they no longer want to live in sin, but they want the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in their lives. So Lord, I want to pray a very simple prayer. Would you show us how to draw near to you? Lord, that we know that when we draw near to you, the enemy has to flee. So Lord, draw this room close to you. We pray and ask, God, that you would push away the enemy, that people today would have clarity and would declare you Lord of their lives. Lord, we know that you have a plan for every single person in this room, that even our culture hates the thought that people would know Jesus as Savior and Lord. But this church does not let culture lead it. We want Christ to lead us. We want Christ to guide us. And oh, how we need you today. So would you speak in the life of my friends in this room? Lead us to you, Jesus. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.